Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia EPL podcast sponsored by Stardust Spirits. Use the code KOA to get your next order or get 20% off your next order because you love that sort of stuff, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? This is not the last EPL pod because we will do a reaction whole one on the season, but this is the game week 38 look ahead and also recapping game week 37, which was rubbish for me. We'll get onto that very shortly, but let's bring in my right-hand man for this series, Alex Jones, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. After a few terrible game weeks, this one's been all right. It's okay. So it looks like, as we'll get on to, I'm probably going to fall short of my goal. But if, like Ipswich, I can hopefully end with a bang, I'll have to take it. I'll be all right. So yeah, I'm happy with a decent game week there.
Yeah, not for me. It's ended in a whimper, and I did do the big thing, and actually the bad thing. If you're a Peep Show reference there, that was obviously I triple captain Leon Delap because I just thought did it for the podcast, did it for, you know, just see if you could go and score goals. And he didn't do that because he didn't start, and obviously Town lost 2-0 against Leicester. So, that backfired horribly for me. But I did it for the podcast. Did it for you listeners out there to see if something could happen. A miracle, which didn't happen. Game week 37. Only one more game week to go. It's going to be sad, actually, AJ, because obviously we've been trying our best to do this all season long. Obviously, Town being relegated, we won't likely do this series next year. We've only really got one more to do. But we're going to reflect on game week 37, my friend. I'll let you start because you had a good game week and I just don't want to look at my team just yet.
That's fair enough. 39-point average. Fascinated to know if you're over or under the average. Hang on, I want to see. Oh, I've just seen whether Ross is over or under the average. Fair. Okay. I have Areola in goal, which was not great because they lost to Nottingham Forest, so only got 2 points. Josko Gvardiol in defence. That was an absolutely huge pain because he was carrying a nice clean sheet right until the end, and then he conceded to Bournemouth deep into stoppage time, so that was annoying. Ryan Aitnori I had in defence. Could have gone double Wolves, but only went single, even though maybe I could have looked at it as thinking Palace would be tired and a bit hungover. Ultimately, probably the right decision to only have one because Palace ended up winning that game 4-2.
Yep.
4-2. Yeah. So, that one didn't end up going overly well. Nori got no points at all. My free transfer for last week. Did I have one of those? I had one last week, wasn't it? Mark Cucurella. No, I had two last week. Go through both. Mark Cucurella was one. Happy with him because he kept a clean sheet and scored the winner against Manchester United. 15 points. That was a good transfer. Bruno Fernandes, vice-captain. He was rubbish. Kevin De Bruyne, captained. He was also rubbish. Only got 3 points. My second transfer, just also trying to remember when I did what on all this. Jared Bowen, I brought in. One of your kind of big favourites of this season. He's been in brilliant form. He's got returns in his last 5 games. Brought him in and he got 8 against Nottingham Forest. So happy with that one. Brian and Bumo got 5 points for a goal against Fulham. Annoyingly, he should have got 7 points, but he missed a penalty, which if he scored, he would have had loads of points and I would have been very happy if he didn't. Then I had Jacob Murphy, who I didn't start. He came in on the bench because Isak was injured and didn't play against Arsenal. So Murphy came in for 2 points. And then it was the forward line that also helped save this week. Omar Marmoush, what a goal. I assume you've seen this absolutely brilliant goal. He scored an absolute swaz banger. Can we call it a thunder bastard? We're going to call it a thunder bastard. It was an unbelievable hit to score against Bournemouth in midweek. One of the goal of the season contenders. And Johan Wissa got 10 points as well for a goal against Fulham. 59 points. Bench was all rubbish. Isak didn't play. Kirkes won. O'Shea won. So I'm happy with that. Finally, after a pretty disappointing few weeks, I've got something. I've built something. It's just a shame it's come right at the end of the season.
Yeah, but yeah, I've ended on a bit of a whimper because yeah, last game week I only got 45 points, which is just 2 points above the average. This week was 40 points, just that 1 point above the average, as you noticed a minute ago. Obviously, our highest was 115, so nowhere near that. And we'll look at that briefly, AJ, because I've looked at their team. There's a bench boost, you know, chip has been used, so it's helped that person out very much so. But yeah, 40 points for me. As you all know, triple captain Leon Delap, he got 3 points because he came off the bench. But that was not great. Not good. Martinez in goal for 6 points because obviously he got a clean sheet for Villa in their 2-0 win against Spurs. Guardiola was also my team. And actually, funny enough, I actually switched over to that Man City game just to have a little look. And then, yeah, I was like, oh, happy days, clean sheet. And then, as you said, they concede late on against Bournemouth. And I'm like, bloody hell. Robertson from Fulham, he got 1 point. Annoyingly, Daniel Munoz from Palace got 1 point. So my defence was dreadful. Anthony Elanga got me 5 points. So, you know, not too shabby. He got an assist in Forest 2-1 win against West Ham. Then Brian from Brentford, as you mentioned, scored, but he also missed a penalty. I didn't realise this until I just looked. Minus 2 points for that.
I did say it about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, did you? Oh, I was listening, but I must have
zoned out. Yeah,
zoned out. That
Thanks,
moment.
Ross.
It's fine. But yeah, bloody, that's annoying, isn't it, though? I brought in Eze, the man who scored Palace's FA Cup winning goal. I brought him in for this game, and you laughed at me because you didn't think he was going to get maybe many minutes. But, got me. He scored, didn't he? So he got me 6 points overall, which is very nice indeed. Bowen as well. I've got in my team. I've had Bowen now for the last few months. He's done okay. For some reason, I've still got Mo Salah. Should have got rid of him, really. Obviously, got two lovely points against Brighton as they won 3-2 against Liverpool. And yeah, bloody Cunha as well. I brought him in a few weeks ago and I regret it because obviously he's pretty much on his way out and he got me one lovely point. Yeah. Against Palace.
I was going to say, you might have Manchester United's attack next season in your FPL.
Yeah.
With Cunha and Delap up front. Yeah. You basically got it there. So
Getting their early doors. Yeah.
Well, I don't think Liam Delap's going to join Man United, but still, kind of a nice thing to look back on there.
Yeah, but I really regret doing that. Like, the Delap thing was more just a bit of fun. You never know. Like, he could have come off the bench against Leicester and could have scored. But yeah, not a good way to end game week 37 for me, but it's all about ending strong, as you said, on game week 38. But just have a quick look at who got the highest this game week, 115 points in total. And not too shabby. Konza 15, Cucurella 15, Morgan Gibbs-White, I was debating to bring him in or Langer, but I decided Langer, but he got 11 points, Eze 6 points. And Dye of Everton got 13 points. Watkins, captain for 10, Marmoush for 8. And then bench boost helped him out because he had Raya on his bench, who got 7, and he had Henderson in goal. So he sort of got saved there. But then he's got Morgan Rogers, who got 6, Ashley Young, who got 7, and the Everton Ukrainian guy got 8 points.
Mikolenko.
That's the one. So a very good bench boost for that person there. I'm annoyed, though. AJ, I don't know. My last few game weeks have not been great. I know you have not been great either, but 40, 45, 51, 48. Yeah, I've ended on a bit of a whimper, but, you know, it happens. I'm just sad. I don't know why. I was doing so well. There was a little period where I was batting because obviously you're above me now. I'm trying to think how many points separate us now.
If you tell me how many you've got, I'll tell you how many I've got.
How would you look at that? How would you look at your total?
Find your team, and there'll be a total on the right. Doing this live on the show here.
Yeah.
So I'm on 2,339.
God. Yeah, I've been playing this all season, and I.
And you haven't actually looked at how many points you've got.
Yeah. Well, it's actually nice. Actually, it's not a round number. It's 2,300. So. Nice. Round
39 number. Point difference. Then.
Ooh, so if I have an absolute blinder and you have an absolute mare, then that'd be funny if we actually like draw. Like, it probably won't happen, but
that would be that really would be, weird. Yeah, I don't know who would place higher on the table there, but yes, it would take quite a swing. It would need quite something there, but yeah. I mean, you can't rule it out. If I mean, who have you got in your team? If Cunha on the final day scores,
I'm getting rid of
goals.
Him. I'm getting rid of him.
Ah, right, Cunha's gone.
He's probably, because I only got, how many transfers have I got? I think I've only got one, so I'm probably going to get rid of him. Because he's not going to start
Eze, if Eze scores 7 goals at Anfield on Saturday, then you might have enough. But yeah, I would with that need an absolutely shocking week, and you know, I'm quite happy going into final weekend. There are some little bits and pieces that I'm a little bit concerned about, added in with the fact that there's no kind of premium player that really stands out to me as a strong option to captain. Apart from that, looking at the team as a whole, I am quite happy with what I've got going into the weekend.
You going to do any changes?
I've already done a change.
Ooh.
I'm locked in. I'm locked in and ready to go. Should I preview my weekend finale then? So it's going to be the same team, but there is one change. And the one change is my captain as things stand.
Mm.
And that is, I've taken Isak out. I don't think Newcastle are going to risk Alexander Isak if he's not fit. His form in recent weeks hasn't been great. And there is a player who I think will appeal a little bit more. I have concerns about his minutes, but with the opposition that he's playing, I cannot turn it down. And that's Ollie Watkins. Ollie Watkins, yeah, of Aston Villa. They are going to play Manchester United away this weekend. And I don't think that Old Trafford is going to be a very happy place to be this weekend. Aston Villa, on the other hand, are in Europe next year. They know that, but they are sixth. They are currently outside of a Champions League spot on goal difference alone. So what they will need to get in will be them to win. Well, okay, different permutations to this. They need to better Newcastle or Chelsea's result, or win and hope City lose, something like that. But essentially, they need to get a result, and they need to hope that the teams above them don't get the results. So you're looking at Chelsea needing to drop points against Forest, which is plausible. Newcastle hosting Everton, City away at Fulham. Any of those teams drop points and Aston Villa can pick up the pieces. So I think Villa are going to go in all guns blazing. Yes, it could backfire. They could end up in the Conference League if it goes wrong. But I think we're going to see quite an attacking display from Villa. And I think Ollie Watkins against what could be a very tired or rotated Manchester United team that mentally are drained, mentally are not there, mentally are still kind of shattered on the pitch in Bilbao from what happened last night, I think that Villa are going to be one of the big teams to pick up. And I've only got one Villa player in there at the moment in Watkins, but I really think that they would be the team that I would target going into this weekend. So that's the first bit to mention of my team, Watkins captained and Isak dropping out. The second bit is, and I've waited until the very end for this, but the bench boost is active. So I will have my starting 11. I will also get Jose Sa against Brentford. I'll get Jacob Murphy against Everton. Kirkez against Leicester, like that. And Darroche against West Ham. Yeah, fine. So all of those added
clean
in.
Clean sheet, mate.
I'm hoping, which wouldn't help with having Jared Bowen in the team. But of that added in, I'm hoping that that's going to give me something decent at the end there. I'm hoping that the bench boost, maybe with a Kirkez assist and Murphy getting something in there, and you know, that will be able to give me quite a big boost. But to get up to the top 100, it is a tough ask. It's a really tough one.
Yeah. Now knowing you've got a bench boost, I'm definitely not going to catch you up.
Sorry.
Definitely not. That's fine. It was always going to be a miracle. And my team is all over the place, to be honest, because I've got Isak, and yeah, I didn't obviously have him starting in the last previous week anyway, because his form's been a bit dipping, and he's probably the one change I'm looking at. But yeah, my captaincy is going to be an interesting one. I think I'm just going to put it on Brian from Brentford, because you know, he's got Wolves and he may get a goal there. But I'm just looking. I want to try to have different players to you, because then you never know. I could have one player that can get me amazing, great points, and you haven't got it. But
because we're that's the much... concern, isn't it? Is that the teams kind of end up merging in the end because the form players stand out. So, for example, if we look through it, we've both got Guardiola. Have you got Ait Nouri in your team?
Well, I mean,
no. Okay. I do have your team somewhere. I had it as a screenshot. Now I've just, for some reason, deleted it. Let me come back and get it. We've both got Mbeumo. We've both got Bowen. I mean, there are differences in there. I don't have Munoz. Yeah. I don't have Martinez. I don't have Robinson. I don't have Elanga. I don't have Eze. I don't have Salah anymore. I don't have Cunha. I don't have Delap. So there's differences there. But the kind of the key performers you would expect to get the points, we've both got. We've both got Brian Mbeumo. We've both got Josko Guardiola, players like that. We both had Isak up until this week. So that's why you're now starting to look at the differentials. Players like Eze, like Elanga, like Robinson. Munoz is probably one that could bite me quite badly for not having him, although they are playing Liverpool. Ones like that that are different picks to what I would have, but kind of the ones you would rely upon the most. So, for example, outside of Watkins, you said to me, who's the most likely to get a return in your team, or in my team, rather? It's Jared Bowen, I think, and we both got Jared Bowen. So I'm intrigued to know what you're thinking going into this week and where your captaincy lies as well. That's a big one, looking at your team.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it to Brian from Brentford because I've got Wolves. Like Elanga could be a good shout for against Chelsea, but because Forest obviously need to get a result. I think they want to get Champions League football. But
Bowen?
Yeah.
Goal and an assist. I know that, look, there is a thing about doing it against Ipswich, but goal and an assist last time they played. He's got, has he scored in his last four or five, whatever it was that I said? He's got in his last one, two, three, four, five games, scored against Southampton, two assists against Brighton, scored against Spurs, scores against United, scored against Nottingham Forest. It's a strong return. And Ipswich, let's be perfectly honest here, are not very good at Portman Road this season.
No, that's why Delap is definitely on my bench. Sorry, Liam. Sorry, no Richardsdale player will be starting this final game week because, I've kept with just Liam Delap all season, but he's definitely on my bench for this one. So I think I do need a new striker. So I think I'm going to replace Isak and then I'm going to keep Cunha. You never know. You may go and score against Brentford as well. I don't know. Or do I take that risk of making, you know, a loss, a 4 points lost for hopefully maybe a gain on one of my players. So I could even do that. So I may, I don't know, get rid of Cunha and just bring in two new strikers.
Who would you look at as new strikers?
Ooh, let's have a look at the
options. Haaland's fit and available, but has not scored in the Premier League since mid-March.
Yeah, no,
so that might be a concern. You've
like
got
Chris Wood would be
there. Chris Wood, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, difficult final fixture, home to Chelsea.
Yeah,
not the easiest one. Looking at kind of popular ones, Evan Nilsson has a game.
I've had him a few times, but
Leicester at home, final day. I mean, look, I know they beat Town, but I think Leicester are still dreadful. Danny Welbeck, but then they've got to go to a fairly buoyant Tottenham team.
Who's got Southampton? Is it Arsenal?
Arsenal against Southampton. Havertz is fit again.
Yeah.
But whether he would be fit enough to start is another matter. He'd be the only other striker option, though, because Gabriel Jesus is out.
Ndai, maybe, of Everton?
Yeah, that's not
a bad
shot. They
got Newcastle
well.
Away.
But... it's a difficult game.
Yeah.
It feels like, again, and you're gravitating towards low-cost players, which is the other thing. And it's right to do. It's what I've done as well. But it also does always worry me when you're taking out a big hitter and you're going, oh, I'm going to go for someone who's 5.1 million or 6.2 million or something like that. When you're taking out an Isak or even a Cunha, I know that he's low cost, but you know, consistently performed. It is difficult, but always when it comes to final day, you do have to look at the fixtures and just look at what that one game is. There's no more planning ahead now. There's no more, you know, he's got to play this team in 2 weeks or whatever. This is the final week to do it. So you're looking at teams that are playing Southampton, Ipswich and Leicester It's Arsenal, it's West Ham, and it's Bournemouth.
Yeah, so, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I won't be doing a live transfer, sorry to say, but I'm going to have a little think because deadline is 2:30 on Saturday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Sunday, my bad, sorry, because it's a Sunday game, obviously. All the games are on Sunday, so I've got a little bit of time to decide, and obviously we'll find out a bit more from manager's press conferences as well because we're recording this. On a Thursday, this will likely be out on Friday. So, hello, Friday people.
Hello, yeah, Friday people.
There we go. Everyone loves a Friday, end of the week and all that. But yeah, we shall see. But yeah, not been a great end to the season for me on FPL, but it is what it is. Shall we quickly take a look, AJ, at the leaderboard? And we've got some big talking points because the battle of the top, but I also want to talk about the battle of Stu and Heathie. Out of us four, they're obviously battling to see who's going to be bottom and have a forfeit. At the moment, Heathie is bottom with 2,141 points. Stuart Watson, 2,146 points. So 5 points separate them.
5 points.
So anything can happen. One player can have really a bad game week. I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do. I'm actually going to try to find their teams. And see,
it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, because they're probably down there in the 700 sort of stuff. And no offense if you're down there as well. But do you want to talk about the, as I look, AJ, you want to talk about top of the table, who's going to be obviously trying to be crowned the official Kings of Anglia champion?
Yeah, I'm going to start by saying this one. If you are near the top of the KOA League and you listen to this podcast, please get in contact with us. I'm talking anyone probably in the top five. If you're listening, Roberto Teller, G2, Jack Plum, James Willerton, Peter Harrison, get in contact with us. If you win the league, we would love to have you on. At the moment, that is going to be Roberto Teller, who is top of this league by 9 points, got 54 this week. Raya got 7 points for him. Nico Williams getting a return. Ollie Watkins, Wissa, Rogers, Ismaila Sarr, and Brian Mbeumo as well. He had Isak drop to the bench, I would imagine. So interested to see who would have come in for him. 54 points is good, but G2 got 57. So cut the gap with, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that name. But yeah, good team in there. Konser got points. Bradley got points. I think Connor Bradley scored. So that kind of made up for the goals he conceded. Wissa, Watkins, Captain Beto. Absolutely bizarre. But I love it. I love it. Asensio, De Bruyne, and Mbeumo in his midfield. The big mover of this weekend, of the last game week, Jack Plum, 71 points. Really, really impressive, that one. Raya, Konsa for 15. Mbeumo, Rogers, Bowen, Watkins, and Wissa up top, 20 points between them. Ismaila Sarr as well. Really strong return. That kind of top four is now where I see the cutoff point, really. James Willerton is the last one in that one. Martinez, Konsa. You can see already there's such a familiar pattern with players. Sarr again, Rogers, Wissa, Marmoush, had Raya on the bench, which I'm sure he'll be disappointed with, but Martinez still got six, so there's no real losses there. The gap between fourth and first is 19 points. So it feels like a lot, but it's not going to be that much to kind of swing in it. The gap between first and second is 9 points. So a lot can still happen on this final game week. The thing that will give Roberto Teller the edge is the fact that so many of those teams, all four of them really, have such a core that is the same. So there's only going to be one or two players that are going to decide it. The pool then becomes smaller, and the odds of having one or two players that have a brilliant weekend and change everything is going to be really, really difficult. So Roberto Teller is fully in the driving seat to win the competition.
Oh, I love that. So yeah, Roberto, if you are listening, as AJ said, all of the top four, five, if you're listening, get in contact us on either platform, Kings of Anglia. That'd be great to get you on at the end of the season. And yeah, but yeah, I think maybe it depends if they've got any chips left as well. If someone's still got a triple captain, or if they've just got a free hit, or they've got something. Like, funny enough, Stu uses free hit. I'm just looking at his team. So his team could look completely different on the final day, because he's used it. So I don't know who he's brought in, but he brought in Jamie Vardy. He got him 8 points this week. Cucurella.
He kept that quiet. Yeah. Wow. I'm going to be having a word about that. Blimey. Wow.
Yeah, got him 8 points, obviously, for his goal. Sanchez in goal. The Ukrainian Everton fullback he brought in. He's also got Beto as well at top. But then, once again, that can easily change. I don't know who's kept in his team for next game week, because obviously the free hit is, like, I don't know how many changes he made. So, be interesting. But he got 63 points in that game week, Stu. Heafy, the Victory Cigars, got 52 points. So, yeah, he's still got... I don't know if he's still got his assistant manager, because he uses assistant manager in this game. So, how many? Is it 4 game weeks?
3 game weeks.
Ooh,
I think that's it now. I think he loses. I think that was the last week.
No, I don't think... I think that was his first week he used it.
Was it?
Look, I'm going backwards on his thing. Okay. And he hasn't in game week 37, and I'll go game week 36, didn't use it. So that's going to come. He's got Emery of Aston Villa.
That's a good one to have as well. Manchester United, of course, away.
Yeah, so that's going to give him more. Once again, other people may have that as well. So if you're listening and you haven't used your assistant manager chip, use it, especially those people in the top 10 or top 5, because that may come in handy. Because, yeah, 10 points if you got there from a game week that had only 42 points in his playing team. So, I'm going to put you on a spot here, AJ. Who do you reckon? Heafy or Stu? Who do you think will be above each other?
Whoa. I mean, I haven't seen the teams in the same way that you have. And also, we don't know what Stu's is going to look like this weekend. But if Mark has the assistant manager chip there, I think he will do enough to get above. Just because, as well, it's Emery. I know he's not going to change away from Emery as well, because I don't think he knows how to. He didn't know how to pick the assistant manager in the first place. So, I think that Stu's taking this more seriously, though. It really is difficult. I think it's going to be really neck and neck, but I think the assistant manager chip might just sway it. I'm going to say Mark finishes third and pips Stu to it.
Ooh. Exclusive on the podcast. Yeah, I'm just looking at Heafy's team. He's got 2 Villa players, Watkins and Rodgers.
Yeah,
he's got Saar from Palace, Mo Salah,
yeah, good.
Saka,
not good.
Wissa,
good.
Fleck good. Goal, Konate from Liverpool, Ruben Dias from Man City, Livermento from Newcastle, Beto of Everton. So if Heafy both got Beto, then fair enough. Areola. There's a goalkeeper backup, Javier Barnes on his bench, Jacob Greaves on his bench, and Timber from Arsenal, who's obviously out injured. So, I don't know how many transfers he's got left. He may only have one. Be interested to see which sort of transfer he makes. But that will be a massive talking point, I'm sure, on Bank Holiday Monday when everyone looks at their teams, or even on end of play. Because obviously, I don't know how long it takes for the bonuses to come into play.
They'll be done. They'll be there on the evening. We'll know the Sunday night what the table's going to look like.
Ooh, it's going to be interesting. We won't be recording one next week when the game week's done, because AJ's on holiday. But we'll be back after that to obviously recap the season, see where we finished, and obviously hopefully be joined by the champion of Coway FPL. And as AJ said, the ones who are in that top 4, top 5, get in contact, and it'd be great to have you on. AJ, any other business? Should we quickly take a look at the fixtures as a whole, and sort of like the big ones that are in play? Obviously, Ipswich take on West Ham as the Premier League
huge
to close.
Huge game. All eyes of the world on Portman Road. Three, I think, have been selected for TV this weekend. Those kind of stand out as the big one. I mean, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, no one really cares. It's a nice warm-up for the Community Shields later this year. I think it's just been selected so fans can see Liverpool lift the Premier League title. But the two other selected games are the standouts there. One, that Villa-Man United game. Man United could possibly finish 17th, which would be quite funny, to be perfectly honest, wouldn't it? And Villa chasing a Champions League spot. But the big game this weekend has to be City Ground Forest against Chelsea, which will be colossal, because if Nottingham Forest win that game, they will go into the Champions League and Chelsea will be out of the Champions League and everything then changes. If Chelsea could still finish in a Conference League spot, even though they're in the Champions League at the moment, they've still got a cup final to prepare for. Chelsea playing in the Conference League final against Real Betis next week. So there's so much narrative over that Forest-Chelsea game. I'd be so fascinated if I had more players involved in that one, but I don't. I'm still really interested about the result. Player-wise, Brentford going to Wolves would be a big one. I have a couple of each, so that's fairly significant. Yeah, that's really the standout for me, I'd say. FPL-wise, Wolves and Brentford in a very, very dead rubber football match. But two teams who do have some goals in them, don't they? So if we could see a bit of that, then I don't think I'd be complaining.
Nice one. And also, I just remembered, if you also win the KOA Cup, if you're listening, and if you won that, let us know as well. It'd be great to know who won that overall, because I got pretty far. I got to game week 32, so I was doing okay. Yeah, that's fine. But I got absolutely thrashed by Dan Mayhew. I got 53 that game week. He got 105, so I had no bloody chance. He had a really good idea. He's used his assistant manager. He had Eddie Howe. He got 23 points, and the rest of the team is pretty good. But yeah, if you're listening once again, if you won the Coway Cup, let us know as well. And as I said, we'll be back in a few weeks to round off the FPL for the 2024-25 season. But yeah, Alex, thanks so much for joining me as standard. Thanks everyone for listening to the Coway FPL series. I hope you've enjoyed it this campaign. And yeah, we've only got one more episode to go to finish this season. Well, as standard, support our sponsors. Stardust Spirits, use the code KOA. You get 20% off your next order. And follow us on all the Kings of Anglia social media platforms. And we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye for now.